Oh my God. Bridget Bonner hates bald eagles. Are you a communist? What the hell?
I'm sorry, what? No. I can't start the show.
I don't even know who's...
Because we're in a big, huge fight about bald eagles right now.
Bald eagles.
I can't.
Well, we'll get there. Maybe we'll get there at the end. I don't even know.
I guess so. Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where nothing makes sense. Because we have been informed directly before starting the show.
That was pretty funny.
That our senior producer, executive producer, let's call her that, hates bald eagles.
Hates bald eagles. But we'll get there. We'll get there. Because
one thing at a time.
Nothing is sacred on this podcast. I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Happy Hour Friday, as if you couldn't tell. Economics on Tap is what we call it. The live stream's up. The Discord is up. Thank you. Discord is up. Thank you to everybody joining us wherever you are finding us, whether it's on the podcast or on the YouTube live stream. It is great to have you all along. Oh, my goodness. Fred Wallman, the Stonebring 25th Anniversary Triple IPA. Careful, Fred. Have one of those. Do it while you're sitting, and then don't drive anywhere. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
And that's the end of your evening, friend.
Yes. Thank you. I
like 0106 CK beers. Having a lime martini in Orlando.
Yeah. Ooh, 87 degrees.
87 degrees. A PB whiskey and Shuka tea. Susanna. Watching in pairs. Love it. Love it. Love it. What are you having?
I'm having a beer, but
I want to at Slack.
Well, I'm frowning it at Walter T. Ambrosius. So, Marketplace, this says it starts at 6:30 EST. We're in daylight savings time. So 6:30 EST would be 7:30 EDT. I don't think you mean that. Please use EDT or just ET. Okay, Walter. Sorry.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. I'm having, as it happens, a Stone Hazy IPA. It's their latest offering. Quite yummy. And I've got two left in the fridge, which I will finish over the course of the next 5 to 6 hours before I fall asleep.
Love it.
That's all I'm saying.
I feel like it's been a minute since you had that one.
Yeah,
I made myself an absolutely outstanding drink after shots were fired over winter drinks in the Make Me Smart Slack. And I went to the grocery store. In real life with my son, this was a big outing because normally we're kind of delivery people. And we were before. Anyway, we bought Abuelita, the Mexican hot chocolate discs, spicy, cinnamony hot chocolate. And so then today I was like, I want, because it's nice and chilly and it's been all rainy, even though it's not right now. And I have my cool new Rent the Runway poncho on. So I made a Mexican hot chocolate with a little bit of tequila in it, which I've never had before. And it's the greatest drink in the world.
Is it a little spicy? Because Mexican hot chocolates, in my memory, are a little spicy, right?
It is. It's a little spicy. There's some cinnamon and some chili. And then I made it with milk. And I'm living the dream right now. It's like hygge central up here in the garage.
Hygge.
So hygge.
All right. So.
Okay. What do we got? We're doing the news.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Let's roll.
Let's roll. So super quick, this one is kind of late this afternoon, but we all know Frances Haugen, the whistleblower at Facebook. Another one has apparently filed a complaint with the Securities and Exchange Commission, another whistleblower, which the Washington Post has seen, which basically echoes Frances Haugen's claims, which are all about they chose money over morals. And here's the quote. According to the affidavit, right, and these are just allegations, not proved, not investigated, but the Post is reporting it because it's seen the filing with the SEC. A Facebook communications official named Tucker Bounds allegedly said, according to the affidavit, quote, it, which is to say the political controversy over Facebook's actions, it will be a flash in the pan. Some legislators will get pissy, and then in a few weeks, they will move on to something else. Meanwhile, we are printing money in the basement, and we are fine, end of quote. So... Tucker Bounds
this,
denies
by the way,
that. Facebook, sorry, go ahead.
Reportedly in response specifically to the allegations of Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Facebook says, it's a dangerous precedent to hang an entire story on a single source making a wide range of claims without any apparent corroboration. I'm just going to wait for that corroboration to come because—
It is. And then I love the part where it just went on and on. And then they were like, this is just the Washington Post trying to beat the New York Times because we know they're losers. I mean, it's just really a pretty remarkable response in keeping with a lot of the reporting that says that Facebook is done apologizing. Right. And that may be the case. Listen, I mean, single source stories are problematic. However, it appears to be that this affidavit was submitted to the SEC, I think, right?
Yeah.
Much like Haugen. Yeah. Much like Haugen. So they're, you know, these whistleblowers are alleging fraud, collusion.
Right.
Like, they're making very serious claims here. And it is not surprising that the response is basically like, shut up. But I just don't know how long that's going to last.
It is. That's the response. Shut up.
You are.
Yeah. Yeah. And we are now, let's see, today's the 22nd. We're 6 days away from the great renaming ceremony. So, you know, Facebook's going to be
not
going to
work.
That's all I'm saying.
Not going to work, Larry and Sergey.
Yeah.
Not going to work.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So that's Facebook. I also do not want to let the day go by, and we have let 2 days go by without mentioning this, but there's a company out there called Digital World Acquisition Corporation whose shares are up in the past 2 days 846.73%. Why, you ask?
Mm-hmm.
Because that company is the SPAC through which Donald John Trump's social media company called Truth has elected to become a player in the capital markets, which is to say they did a SPAC without actually going through any of the due diligence or any of that other stuff. And now people who hold those shares are 846.73% richer today than they were the other day. And I commend to you, and I can't find it now, but there's a column by the Bloomberg columnist who writes their Money Stuff column, whose name is Matt Levine.
Matt.
Wrote a great column about this. Great, great, great. Look it up, column about this on Bloomberg. And how basically it's a scam. And Trump is pocketing this money. And people who are
scam.
In league with Trump is pocketing this money. It's grift all the way down. All the
I
way
mean,
down.
This is a company that was formed like today, 2 days ago. It's based, there's a great thread actually by a guy who covers SPACs on Twitter, basically.
Yeah.
Like his whole deal is, whoa, SPACs. And he points out that the company launched 2 days ago.
Right.
It's based in a WeWork and has no known employees. The CEO and CFO both appear to be based in Wuhan, China, which we know that Trump has had issues with in the past, but maybe not today. Their previous SPACs blew up. One of them is like a member of Brazilian royalty who's trying to like restore the monarchy, evidently.
Yeah.
And the CEO and the CFO bought $10 million in insider shares a month before the announcement. The only thing that's unclear about the scam is whether Trump himself is actually making any money off of it. That part seems, according to the reporting, to be like, you know, the company is not listed as a specific beneficiary, but you got to imagine that this money is being funneled to the former president.
There is zero chance. There is zero chance based on what we know about the former president and his business practices, which is a lot. There is zero chance he's not getting any money out of this. And that's what Matt Levine's column was all about, actually.
Yeah. So, there is zero chance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, look, it's just like every, like, campaign, all the campaign fundraising about you've got to, you know, stop the steal and this and that and whatever. It's all just paying the guy's bills.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's a, totally. it's a hard thing to watch.
Totally. Yep. So anyway, that's
I am glad that we have our game, half full, half empty, coming up after the story that I want to talk about today, because man, is this just gutting, horrific, upsetting, and a full-on labor story.
Yep.
So you may have heard last night or throughout the day that Alec Baldwin fatally shot a cinematographer and seriously, maybe critically wounded, I think the director of the movie that he's been filming in New Mexico with a prop gun. Details about this are still emerging, but one of the most salient details seems to be that a day before the shooting, and actually the morning of the shooting, half a dozen camera crew workers walked off the set to protest working conditions. They complained about long hours, long commutes, not getting paid, having to sleep in their cars. And they were particularly concerned about the prop gun safety because, you know, for whatever you're seeing on the internet, like prop guns are dangerous. And there have been deaths as a result of accidents involving prop guns before. The blanks can kill someone. They are projectiles. And there seemed to be a lot of rumors that there were maybe corners being cut or they were using non-union prop gun coordinators because of concerns about the IATSE strike. And then now there are these confirmed reports by the LA Times that workers had walked off the set and that the few people remaining included this cinematographer who was killed and the director who has been undergoing emergency service surgery. Yeah. The shooting occurred about 6 hours after the union camera crew left.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to maybe find out what really happened here. We should always be asking the question whether a loaded gun should be pointed at anyone, but particularly like this. I mean, look, there are a lot of questions. Fundamentally, this is a labor story. When you don't treat people properly, when you don't take proper precautions, when you just – and this industry is like notorious for these unbelievably abusive movie set conditions.
Hence the IATSE near strike.
People get killed. Yep. People literally get killed.
Yep.
I mean, it really is just like it's who knows what other kind of story, but it is at its heart a labor story of exactly the kind that we keep talking about, and the kind where people have had it and they're fed up. And I don't understand why these companies don't seem to realize that you don't have to do it this way. I mean, how much money would a movie of like this made? You know? Now it's probably never going to come out, one hopes. Because, ew.
Yeah, that's a good question.
What was the Brandon Lee
movie?
Yeah, was it like
The Crow?
Batman?
I don't know if that came out because that was not my kind of movie. There was also, who was the guy who was killed by the helicopter like 30 years ago? There was that one that never came out.
Oh, I don't know.
I think.
But there was another shooting too. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it is a truly, truly, truly awful story that seems in many ways to almost certainly be the direct result of treating employees like crap, frankly, of underpaying them, overworking them. And we're having a moment right now in America where like people are done with that.
Yeah. The Crow did come out, says the YouTube chat.
Mm.
Vic Morrow is the guy who was killed. What was the name of this? Thank you, Stephen Jones. What was the name of the film though? Twilight Zone, the movie. Yeah.
Oh, Twilight Zone. Wow.
Yeah.
But yes, exactly. Yeah. Do not aim a gun. Margie Klitsch in our YouTube chat is saying, rule number one, do not aim a gun at anything you do not intend to shoot. Why would a prop gun be named at a non-act? I mean, those are all the questions that are unrelated to the labor issue that I don't want to speculate about because it's a truly terrible story. But believe me, all my group chats are speculating about it because.
Yeah. Because. It's terrible.
It's awful.
Okay. Shall we?
Yeah. Let's play a game.
Let us. Okay. I don't even know who's in charge. I don't think it's Charlton who's in charge because he would have like given us the 10 seconds.
It looks like it's Drew.
Yeah.
Across the board. This is, thank goodness. Wow. I don't know. He's going to have to hit the music and read that he can do it. This is Half Full, Half Empty, where we give our predictions on various topics. Drew Jostad wrote the music you just heard, cued the music you just heard, and is about to host our game.
Oh, my God.
Drew.
He does everything.
Molly, this is not the first time I've done this.
I know. We just want people to know.
Are you half full or half empty on the Bitcoin ETF?
Oh, Bitcoin ETF. So ticker symbol BITO. Look it up. This is, to be clear, it's not an exchange traded fund, which is a fund that trades like a stock. It's not an ETF on actual Bitcoin. It's an ETF on Bitcoin futures, which means that it's a way to invest or perhaps speculate based on what people are thinking about Bitcoin prices, which makes it problematical. Sorry, I'm just looking up the ticker right now.
I sort of feel like, if possible, this thing is even more speculative than cryptocurrency investing itself.
Right? Right? Yeah. Totally.
Like,
totally.
You can't trade Bitcoin on. I mean, this is what happens in the. This is a regulatory void showing itself.
Right.
Right here. Right. You can't trade cryptocurrency on the big exchanges. So people were like, well, shoot, we're missing out on all this money on the. Yes. Got your hand up?
No, that's Willow. I'm getting my hand out of the way so that Willow doesn't nudge me with her disgustingly saliva soaked tennis ball.
I hate that.
Truly, I don't know if you can. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We can hear the slobber. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Audible
slobber. So please, proceed. Sorry. with a dog.
No, I think we're landing in the same place, which is like, this is somebody being like, how can we make some money on this big, huge crypto craze on these exchanges and maybe make people feel safer about it, even though what they're really trying to do is protect feelings.
Right, right.
Like, what?
Right.
No.
What could possibly go wrong?
So empty.
I'm with Molly.
Yeah.
All right. Listener Reba Lynn in Florida wants to know if you're half full or half empty on the Earthshot prizes.
Listener half full, half empty.
Yeah. So go ahead. Go ahead. You take this one and I'll chime in.
No, you were starting.
Completely unrelated anecdote. Well, no. So the problem is I don't actually know what the Earthshot prizes are. But what I do know, and Bridget Bonner will appreciate this. So the Earthshot prizes are a cause for Prince William. And the reason I know this, Prince William of the United Kingdom, whose grandmother, Queen Elizabeth, was in the hospital overnight, blah, blah, blah. The reason I know this is because Bridget and I both follow Elizabeth Holmes, who used to be at the Wall Street Journal and then turned into a fashion reporter and now has turned into a royal reporter. We follow her on Instagram. And Elizabeth Holmes has been all over this story because Prince William, oh my God, could we be more off topic? Because Prince William wore a green velvet jacket to the ceremony. That's how I know about this. I have no idea what the Earthshot prize is.
That's amazing. Wow. Yeah. Well, the Earthshot prizes are basically like an X prize, but for sustainability. So it's it started in the UK.
I'm so shallow. I'm so ashamed.
So delighted by what just happened. Like everything about that was incredible.
Oh my God.
And not for nothing, gave me time to duck the specifics of the Earthshot prize. But they're basically these like really ambitious goals. I mean, it literally is like an X prize. It's a financial incentive to come up with big time solutions, hopefully really game changing solutions for like protecting and restoring nature, cleaning the air, reviving the oceans, building a waste free world and fixing our climate. Fix our climate. No big deal. Fix our climate. I got to see who won this one.
Yeah.
Hold on. This woman, Vita Cowan, co-founded a company, Green Hydrogen, looks like, with the AIM electrolyzer.
Okay. I'll go with that.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah. Come stateside now. It hadn't existed in the U.S. before, but now it has.
Right. And apparently the prize is next year.
On every effort.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead. Yeah, the prize is next year. The ceremony is going to be in the States, and so Elizabeth Holmes, whose signature thing on Instagram is so many thoughts, she's very excited that the Cambridges are coming to the States next year. Anyway, sorry. I'm a Royals buff. Yes, we fought a revolution not to have to pay attention to them, but I kind of like it. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and you know what? It did not work. It did not work.
Yeah.
We use antitrust law to break up AT&T too, but look who's still standing. Just saying. These solutions don't last forever.
That's right.
I don't know how I got from there to here, but sure, why not? Drew, next, help.
Thoughts and predictions on PayPal buying Pinterest.
Oh, you know, that's funny. I think I don't care. Truly. That's what I think.
Molly? 100% with Alex Braden in the YouTube chat who says, did William win the Masters? Because that's exactly what I thought when you said green jacket.
Green jacket. No, so this is a green velvet jacket with slightly
glad
lighter
that someone
green
else
piping on it.
Said that.
Oh, my God.
I'm so relieved because that's all I could think. I was like, you mean like the Masters? And then I was like, everyone will make fun of me, but I'm not alone.
Oh my God.
I've literally forgotten our topic. I'm sorry. Can you go back?
Pinterest.
PayPal Pinterest. Buying Pinterest PayPal for $45 billion. I don't care. I'm half empty. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, I guess I'm with you. I don't really care. Like, yeah, you've embedded your payment technology in Pinterest, where I can't ever actually figure out how to buy anything, and everything I click on turns out to be like not the thing that I thought I was clicking on. So, it seems to me that it's just affordable for PayPal, but that doesn't necessarily make it the right choice.
Yeah,
that was mean. Half empty.
No, it's all right. Got to be honest.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Back to something we already talked about. Half full or half empty on the Facebook name change.
Oh. I'm completely curious. I'm fully, completely curious to see how this goes. And to see, number one, Molly's prediction play out in real life, which is that Zuckerberg's going to become the CEO grand poobah of the parent company, and he's not going to be able to get out of the way. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. So, half full, I suppose, just for the spectatorness of it.
on the spectatorness. Yeah, I'm half. Yeah. I'm certainly half empty on it achieving any of its stated goals.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Also, to be honest, I'm kind of half empty on it happening. Like, it's literally only one anonymous source and one report. So honestly, I don't even think it's gonna happen.
Oh, are you going there? Really?
Not even an anonymous source who like filed an affidavit or went to the SEC. Just somebody who literally like talked to The Verge.
Okay.
I'm going all in. I'm half empty on the whole shaboodle.
Wow.
Boom.
Okay.
Well,
all right. Fair.
All right. What else?
Half full or half empty on AMC theaters adding captions.
I don't know anything
about
this
story. Captions are so hot
right now. Okay. So look. So my wife watches TV and she turns the captions on. And it's not like she's hard of hearing, but she wants to make sure that she catches all the, you know, dialogue in those low volume moments. And it makes me crazy. You don't have to catch every word. Don't have to catch every word. Get the gist of the scene. Half empty.
Captions are like having a huge moment. And I think it's maybe because people watch video with their partners around, or like the sound is always changing.
Oh, yeah, with the
anyway,
volume down and stuff. Yeah. Yeah,
with the volume down, and obviously as a huge accessibility bonus. And so on that front, I think it is amazing that AMC is going to caption movies. Like, that is fantastic, because you can still, even if you're hard of hearing or fully deaf, you could still go there and feel the like the rumble, and then watch the captions and see the like big blah, 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 and have an experience that previously was probably not that interesting. So I love it. It is hard for comedy.
What's interesting is... The Make Me Smart Slack is very pro captions. Very pro captions.
Yeah. They're kind of the hot new thing. I know, that is like the weirdest thing to say.
Oh, God. Bridget says, how do you understand what the British people on the British Mysteries are saying? Number one, don't watch British Mysteries. Number two, just freaking open your ears. Just listen.
My favorite part of this is that I'm just yakking away over here and Kai's like in a little Slack argument with the producers. He's all type. No,
sorry.
Captions are stupid, and I'm not even having it.
Oh, my God.
I will die on this hill on Slack.
I will die on this hill.
Drew, are you almost free of us, or do we have another topic?
And Drew doesn't even answer. He's just like, I'm hitting the button.
Pinterest, you idiots. Pinterest.
Woo. Pinterest, you idiots. Oh, my goodness. Well, there we go.
And that is it. That's it for us. I think we can all say a buttoned up and professional operation, as always. We aim to deliver the highest quality content, even higher than the Truth social media platform, which has already been hacked like 9 times. All right.
Yeah.
That is it for us for real. Many of you sent us follow-up questions, and I completely understand that, about decentralized finance, our deep dive from Tuesday, because honestly, they're going to have to teach this in schools if this is going to become the new way we do money. We would love to answer them. So if you have more questions, share them with us over the weekend. Send them on. Do it.
Yeah, it's about what money is, right? Anyway, get in touch with us. Email makemesmart@marketplace.org. Message us at our website, marketplace.org/makemesmart, or you can leave us a voice memo at our hotline, 508-827-6278, 508-UB-SMART. Hook us up. Tell us what you think. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
That would be
awesome.
And
then we will tell you what we think and or have Googled.
Right.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera, today with help from Tony Wagner. Today's episode was engineered so professionally by Drew Jostad, despite our best efforts. The senior producer is Bridget Podner.
The team behind the YouTube live stream and our game, Half Full, Half Empty, is Stephen Bion, Catherine Devine, Emily McCune, and Mel Rosenberg. The theme music for Half Full, Half Empty was written by one Drew Jostad. The interim executive director of On Demand is Donna Tam, who is wrong about captions. I'm just saying.
I mean, entire internet is coming for you now. Everybody's about captions.
I don't care.
Yeah, you know, you do you, man. It's great that you can hear so well after all these years.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know what's wrong with me today.
What even was that?
That was just an attack on the flank. I don't know.
Whatever.
I apologize.
Love you too, sister. Love you too.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.